Hello, and welcome to the High Level Showdown.
Special election series.
That's right, leading up to the 43rd federal election, we're going to break down the issues that matter to you.
Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to another in the issues series of the High Level Showdown special federal election coverage. My name is Elliot Tanti, and I am here with my two great and fabulous co-hosts. First, the host of Calgary's newest foodie podcast, Sharon, how is your podcast Feast Mode going on?
Honestly, I hate this bit.
this new intro.
And I'm also joined. That other voice you hear there is the lead man on the Making Magic with Michael Hogwarts podcast. Oh. Michael, I didn't know you were such a Harry Potter fan.
Yes, but not as much as Elliot. So. You know, I have to thank you because it was your inspiration. Your insane knowledge of the Potter world is what inspired me, Elliot.
Well, I'm looking forward to being invited on as a guest on your show. I'm sure, you know, the invite is in the mail or something.
Right.
Now let's get into the issue that we want to talk about.
So, right. Well, this episode, we're going to put the federal leaders into, we're going to sort the federal leaders into their respective houses, right?
Oh my God. Andrew Scheer is a Slytherin for sure.
But you know, Justin Trudeau speaks parcel tongue. So.
I don't know.
Hold on, what would be their houses be? Oh my God, maybe Andrew Scheer isn't Slytherin. Well, honestly, I feel like Trudeau's kind of a Slytherin. No shade, but
Trudeau's a Hufflepuff. Elizabeth.
No, Mace. I think
a Ravenclaw.
Jagmeet Singh is totally a Gryffindor.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
Wow. All right. Sorry, all of my suggestions suck.
I don't think of the four leaders anyone's a Gryffindor, to be honest with you.
Okay, relax.
So we're going to talk about healthcare this week, guys. It's weirdly, healthcare always comes up and is always like polls the highest as the most important issue for Canadians, it seems like, in every federal election. The hilarious thing about healthcare is that it's not really a federal issue. Michael, why? Why do you think it's such a major piece of every federal election campaign, despite being a service that's delivered by the provinces?
Well, I think it boils down to the fact that it's such an integral part of our Canadian identity, you know, and especially because of our proximity to the United States and their struggle for, you know, with private health care. Having publicly funded Medicare is just the quintessential good thing about the Canadian state. And even though it is, you know, a provincial jurisdiction in terms of how the provinces roll out their programs, the federal government is always keen to, you know, pounce on that issue as, you know, this is who we are and this is how we're going to make it better. And so I think it always comes up because it's a fundamentally Canadian issue. And we're so proud to have the system that we are, that we have.
Sharon, why do you think this is always such a big issue in federal elections, despite it being a provincial service?
I think a lot of people forget that it's a provincial service, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. It's funny because it's in the United States, it's another common criticism is that healthcare is often laid at the feet of the federal government. But there, the federal government has a lot more say in terms of how healthcare is delivered, right? Sharon, I'm talking to you, seeing as you lived in the United States for at least a little bit.
Yes, that is true. I was but a wee child, but yes, you are right.
So let's get into, you know, some of the campaign promises from the four major parties this year.
Woo!
Let's start with And I think I want to start with the Conservatives because I want to get into another conversation. Sharon, what are the Conservatives offering in terms of promises around healthcare this year?
Well, they're a little slim, of course. I mean, makes sense. It's not under federal jurisdiction, but they kind of have two main points that they're campaigning on. One of them is to spend that $1.5 billion to buy new medical imaging equipment for facilities all across Canada. So they talk a lot about how people wait so long for MRIs and CT scans. And so one of the things that they're going to do to try to remedy that is by buying new medical imaging equipment. Another big thing, which you see this phrase in a few of the party's platforms, is the Canada Health Transfer. So the Conservatives want to maintain and increase the Canada Health Transfer, which provides long-term healthcare funding to the provinces and territories. So that is the two main things that the Conservatives are kind of, you know, running on.
Michael, what is the Canada Health Transfer?
Well, you know, it's federalism 101. So, you know, if for our casual listeners, you know, the federal government gives, you know, a certain amount, allocates a certain amount of funds to the provinces, you know, the have and have nots provinces, you know, similar to the equalization payments. And the kind of health transfer is basically the, you know, to my knowledge, the health version of the equalization payments. It's money from the federal government to the provinces to be invested in the health sector.
Yeah, I think that it is equalization payments, and it's the biggest equalization payment that the Canadian government offers to any of the provinces. And it's based on one-year healthcare spending. I think it's an interesting. The reason why I mentioned equalization payments is because we're based in Alberta, and I think, you know, we're
considered like one of the have provinces, right?
And it's also, you know, it's been a common criticism of Albertans for a long time around how we pay $13 billion a year to Quebec or whatever, you know, whatever made up number that a politician is a current Albertan politician is talking about at a certain time. And so, you know, essentially how it works is you have a revenue source, which is income tax, and then that money goes into a pot, and some of that is allocated back to provinces to pay for healthcare based on their needs. The issue that Alberta runs into all the time is that Alberta is a younger province, so their healthcare costs are much lower. Alberta is a richer province, so the amount of income tax revenue generated by the federal government by Albertans is much higher. And we are, because of our, you know, younger age, less sick. We're more healthy, so we don't need as many healthcare services, so we don't get as much money.
And population as well, right?
And it's a population piece as well, too. I think that this is the Conservatives clearly giving a nod to their base, and for anyone who you know, could kind of parse through that, and I think it's a particular nod to Albertans. Is that too much? Is that too far to go on? That this is.
I mean, it's a little extra, but I wouldn't count it out. Like, I wouldn't say it's a direct nod to Albertans. I think it's a direct nod to, you know, a lot of people on the right side of the spectrum who believe that this is an unfair system. Yeah, a lot of them might be Albertans, but I don't know if it's a specific nod.
Michael, let's go to the Liberals. There's a piece around, you know, drugs and pharmacare that I do want to get into, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this first point. They're planning to invest $6 billion over the next 4 years. That is a bit of a nod to this health transfer piece as well, correct?
Yeah, so it's basically, as you said, $6 billion over the next 4 years that would kickstart negotiations with the provinces with an aim at improving a wide range of healthcare services, you know, and which would include, you know, discussion on national pharmacare. I think the key word there is the negotiation, you know, and that is sort of the crux of good relations between the federal government and the provinces. Not only are we going to give money, but, you know, what do the provinces really need? You know, it's not just about throwing money at them and they can do what they want with it, but really responsibly allocating appropriate funds for the services. And as you said, Alberta has different needs than Ontario in terms of the healthcare sector. So I think it's important that there is that negotiation is important.
Sounds a bit like this is the carrot that gets the provinces to the table to talk about the next negotiation, right?
Yeah.
Sharon, let's get into the pharmacare discussion, because there's a number of parties that have made promises around this of varying degrees.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, the different parties and how they're talking about pharmacare and what exactly what a national pharmacare program would look like?
Yeah, for sure. So just to catch people up who might not know, so Canada is the only developed country in the world without a universal healthcare system that does not cover essential medications. So although, like Michael said, having a federal health program is one of the biggest, you know, indicators of Canadian values, we don't have a universal healthcare system that covers essential medications. And we also have the second highest drug costs in the industrial world after Americans. And so there's about 700,000 Canadians, many of them who are lower income, you know, without stable jobs, that have no prescription drug coverage at all. And about 3.6 million people, in addition to that, are believed to have coverage that falls short of allowing them to afford medication. So you have many people in our country who have to choose between, you know, buying groceries and buying the prescriptions that they need to be able to live a productive life, or they, you know, skip days on their prescription or whatever it is. And so this is something that the Liberal government has kind of been taking a look on. They appointed a committee to do some work on this and see the feasibility of what we can do to solve this problem. And so what the parliamentary committee found, which, you know, some people say was biased, was that, you know, we do need a universal pharm care. So adding coverage for medications to our universal healthcare system. The Liberals, even though they, you know, put together the committee, they simply said they're going to invest the money in the next few years to look at the steps towards implementing a national pharmacare program. So they want to create a new Canadian drug agency to coordinating purchases of prescription drugs, but no kind of strong point on this. The NDP, in contrast, say they will spend $10 billion a year to create a national pharmacare program, and that will be implemented by 2020. So Jagmeet Singh says his plan would cover every Canadian and save families an average of $500 a year. And it actually is interesting, a parliamentary budget committee that did a similar kind of costing out in 2017 said that Jagmeet Singh's numbers are right. So, you know, that's interesting. And then, of course, you have the Green Party, who are always, you know, on the left as well. They also want pharm care for all by 2020. The big thing is that
was their plan costed out as well? Sorry.
Pardon?
Was their plan costed out as well, the Green Party?
Not quite yet. So they hadn't had their costing out at the time when, you know, I pulled our show notes together. They might have changed that as of now.
No, I think that was the same thing too, that there were some there were some gaps there, or they weren't willing to accept that it was going to cost $10
billion. Yeah, totally. So I think the big thing is that the reason why the Conservatives really dismissed pharmacare is because they say it's going to cost too much money. But what we're seeing is that Canadians are already paying for this. So what a lot of these parties are saying is, let's see how we can maybe use money, whether it's taxes or whatever it is, because taxes will go up if we introduce pharmacare. There's just no question about it. And that's what some critics on the right have said. But let's look at a plan to see how we can actually maybe fill some gaps. So maybe it's not pharmacare for all, because many people, you know, have drug plans through their province or through their workplaces. Not everyone, of course, but maybe we need to fill some gaps. So there's lots of different opinions on this.
Michael, let's turn to the NDP and their other big promise. And I think, I think they actually made the pharmacare. They've been talking about that for a while, but they've really extended what they want to do from a healthcare perspective to include public dental coverage for households making less than $1,000 a year. Can you talk about just where all the parties fall on some sort of public dental coverage?
Well, actually, as far as I know, I think it is the NDP that is the only party that has really made a, that has really specifically talked about dental coverage.
And I think there's mental health in that as well, and a couple other pieces as well. But yeah, I can go into that a little
bit. Well, I was going to say, you know, I think that's that is actually, I think, a very important thing to talk about. It's odd that somehow, for some reason, there seems to be this idea that dentistry is not medicine. You know, it's sort of this separate thing, even though obviously, you know, we call dentists doctors. You know, they are still medical professionals, but there seems to be this idea that, you know, when we talk about healthcare, we don't talk about dentistry, even though, you know, dental health is important. And, you know, frankly, the cost to go to a dentist for a simple cleaning can be quite expensive, you know, or root canal or any of these, you know, dental procedures. Yeah. And so I think I really appreciate the fact that the NDP is bringing dentistry into this conversation as part of, and I think, you know, that by doing this, the other parties will, I think, you know, eventually will also start to talk about dentistry. Somebody has to get the ball rolling. And I think the NDP has done that. And we're talking about dental care. And I think, you know, obviously what they've said is that they're going to have complete coverage for those who are making less than $70,000 a year. And, you know, obviously we'll start with that and it could grow eventually. But my biggest takeaway is that we're talking about dental care as part of healthcare.
And I think it's interesting for Albertans, most of all, because Albertans actually pay the most for dental services more than any other province in our country. So I think we're the last kind of, you know, study done on this a couple of years ago, or maybe just last year, was that we pay around 15 to 20% more than British Columbia. And that's even higher compared to other places. So this is a big thing, I think, for Albertans, is that we're paying the most out of every other province. And so what does that actually mean for a party to actually boldly say, hey, that's not right for us to be paying this much. And maybe some of that needs to be covered. I've always heard, well, I grew up in the States, so there was nothing covered. So I wasn't one of those kids who ever had braces, because no way could my parents afford that. But I always hear my coworkers talking about, wow, my kids have to get braces. Whoa, it's so expensive because it's all out of pocket. Like, you know, so much money, and it's such a big burden on a lot of families. So I agree with you, Michael. I think this is a really great step forward.
Sharon, in terms of the Greens, they have the PharmaCare for All. What else are they promising or looking at in terms of healthcare?
Yeah, so the Greens talk about something that I think is very important, which I don't know if a lot of other parties just doing a skim through have, is addressing the opioid crisis.
Nope, no one's really talking about it except for the Greens.
Yeah, so the Greens basically want to declare a national health emergency to address the opioid crisis, which I think is in line with what people on all levels of government and in all party lines are saying, that this is a crisis in our country. And so they want to declare a national health emergency and then start moving forward to address the opioid crisis. So the Green actually want to be very bold here, and they want to decriminalize all drug possession. And this is in line with some of the countries around the world.
Yes, sir. I don't want to cut you off, Sharon, but is that a responsible thing to say? Decriminalize all drug possession?
Yeah, so where the idea comes from is from actually Portugal. Portugal had very serious issues around drug use and overdoses. And what they decided to do was move in the direction of decriminalization. And actually, coupled with that, a major investment in harm reduction and mental wellness services. And it's led to a drastic decrease, not just in deaths, but also in drug use and unhealthy substance use in general as well, too. So although on paper it does seem a little bit nuts, when you're talking about people, you know, street poison, basically killing people at a rate of 1.5 to 2 Albertans per day.
Wow.
Creating a safe supply through a decriminalized system is likely the only way in which we're going to be able to manage this crisis. The only way that we've seen success in other jurisdictions anyway.
Yeah, and I would like to say the Green Party don't only want to decriminalize drug possession. They also really talk about, you know, increasing support for mental health and addiction, boosting funding to community-based organizations to test drugs and support drug users and different things like that. And I think this is really the only party who's really talking really firmly about the opioid crisis. And I think, again, going back to Alberta, Alberta has been hit very hard, especially in a lot of rural communities around the opioid crisis. And so to have a party that's really bold on this and really trying to address these concerns, I think is really important. And that's something that a lot of the other parties, especially I think the Conservative Party, has been very weak on addressing so far in the election.
Michael, where do you think the other parties fall in the opioid crisis?
Well, I would think that the NDP and the Liberals are more closely aligned with the Greens, even if they haven't, you know, come out and said so. And I think the Conservatives have that tough on crime agenda, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always been more about, you know, punishing the users and and certainly would never go for something like decriminalizing all drugs, right?
I think they actually have wanting to bring mandatory minimum sentencing to drug traffickers or people who are, you know, in possession. I think they say drug traffickers, but they don't specify how much amount of drugs you need to be able to qualify as a drug trafficker. So a lot of people are saying, oh, that could be someone who has, you know, as a drug user, has a little on them or whatever it may be. So you're right. Tough on crime is what their message is, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say this is certainly an overlapping of ideas. I would assume so between the Liberals and the NDP. The Conservatives are the ones that are quite on the other side of things on this issue.
I mean, I think it's been an issue that's been talked about a little bit. And even the Conservatives, there has been some conversation around increased funding to mental health and wellness issues as well, too. But I failed to find anyone directly addressing it in their platform. I could be wrong. And we're also recording this on September 23rd, which is important to note because this will actually be coming out probably a bit later in this week or potentially next week. But I don't know that it's something that's necessarily taking hold in this election thus far. Michael, in terms of healthcare is always an issue. We started off this conversation by talking about how it's top of mind for so many Canadians, and you and Sharon shared some perspective on that. Do you think that there is anything, is there another issue that you think is more top of mind for Canadians than this? I'll start there. I'll leave you with that.
Well, yeah, it's the economy, stupid. I think, you know, the economy is always going to be top of mind in any election. You know, it's just how we make our living. Are we going to be in debt? Are we going to be in surplus? What are we going to be spending our money on? What are we going to be taxing? Yeah. All that. The economy is an integral part of any functioning society, and. I think we talked about the environment on another episode in the Trans Mountain. That's an environmental issue, but it's also an economic issue, right?
Yeah, and I guess healthcare is an economic issue.
That's a great point. You know, all these things, at the end of the day, one thing they do have in common is that, you know, they are part of Canada's economy.
Yeah. Right. Stay tuned for our economy episode.
Sharon, are there any gaps that you see here in terms of issues that you think people are talking about that the parties haven't addressed, or that one party or leader or party might be talking more about than others? I mean, we talked about opioids a little bit, but there's some other things that you think are glaring gaps here?
Yeah, well, I think the Greens could talk about it in relation to opioids, but I think mental health is a really big one, of course, and what that actually looks like in our country to have a federal government that takes a bold stance on how to, you know, improve mental health. I think, and we'll talk more about this in our Indigenous episode around Indigenous issues, but I think especially mental health and supports on reserves and for Indigenous people in our country. And so that's something that I think is very light when people are talking about healthcare. I think the discrepancy on people's access to healthcare is still pretty big when you compare services for Indigenous people, especially living on reserves, compared to people outside of them. So I think that's something that is missing. And then I think another big thing, which of course is talked about a little bit in is it the Conservatives? Oh, the NDP, actually, who, you know, have a very clear stance saying that we oppose privatization although we don't know what it's going to look like, you do have provinces like Alberta who have a premier who is going to be taking measures, experts say, or, you know, people are assuming, to decrease healthcare spending, maybe introducing different sorts of systems where you see privatization emerging. So not that I'm trying to be, you know, hysterical and an alarmist saying that there's a threat to the value of Canadian healthcare. I do think it's very interesting that we do have a rise of governments like Jason Kenney in our country, who are, I think, going to be challenging the way that provinces actually, you know, organize and set up their healthcare systems, and what that means from a federal level of a response from the federal government, who, you know, of course, planned the Canadian Health Act. What that looks like, I think, will be interesting for me. So I might be, you know, hyping that up a little bit, but I think it's interesting.
No, I think that's really interesting too, because of all the parties, the Conservatives have sort of made the fewest commitments around healthcare. I think, you know, Conservatives are always about downloading services to the citizen or to the province government. And you wonder if maybe Conservatives here aren't saying this is a provincial issue and provinces will deal with it as they see fit. We'll just, you know, increase the money and they can do what they want with it. Michael, is it, you think I'm on the right track with that? Is that in line with?
I would say so, absolutely. Yeah.
Michael, is there any gaps for you?
In terms of what they haven't addressed?
Yeah, or what any party hasn't addressed, or any gaps in terms of things.
Well, I mean, I guess I would say the opioid crisis, you know, we just finished saying that it was really only the Greens that have explicitly talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess if we can liken it to the climate change debate, you know, not everybody is on board yet that there's a climate crisis. And maybe we could, the same could be said, you know, not everybody is on board yet that there is an opioid crisis. And maybe the Greens are just ahead of everybody.
Yeah, I just remembered something as well, which came up earlier this year, which, of course, is really important for especially women, but I think is a issue for all people, is access to abortion. I think that's something that's really interesting. Even though we have abortion rights in our country, the access to it, it varies across provinces. So, for example, New Brunswick doesn't fund abortions at clinics. You know, Ontario doesn't fully fund abortions for every clinic. A lot of women have to pay out of pocket, at least in part, for their abortions. And the average cost of a first trimester abortion is about $700. Fewer than one in five Canadian hospitals provide abortion services. And so across our country, there's varying access to abortion services, which of course has such a big impact for women and families. And, you know, I think our country, going back to the economy, when more women have access to, you know, taking part in our economy and, you know, don't have to bear the brunt of, you know, staying at home with children and things like that when they're not able to, I think all of Canada is better. So I think abortion is also an interesting thing as well, even though that's a provincial thing. It is mandated under the Canada Health Act. And yeah.
I think those are interesting, good, and really important thoughts from both of you to close this out. Guys, thanks so much for this conversation. I think that healthcare will be top of mind for many voters, and I'm glad that we were better able to inform them with where these parties are at in terms of their commitments. We're going to be putting out another episode in the next couple of days here on the next big issue. Until then, keep your eye on that feed, as anything could happen at any time.
Adios.
Good night.